This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 21 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all on this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things that God is showing me as I search to know what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast. The NIV version of Proverbs 16:9 says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." This verse fits here for two reasons. Firstly, because this was not what I was planning to talk to you about today. I love strategy and planning out how things are best done and in what order. I had my identity series all planned out how I wanted it to go. It was originally just one episode, and then it turned into four, two about us and two about God. I wanted them to go in a specific order. I like when things are neat and tidy, but life is not often neat and tidy from our viewpoint, and God is reminding me that this podcast is for Him to be glorified and not for me to show you all how well I can plan a series. He knows what I need to learn about, in what order, and how that affects all of you listening. My original plan for the next two episodes were to talk about our identity in God as precious creatures created in His image, and knowing our identity is safe because of whose we are. However, every time I've sat down to start writing them, it feels forced. And to be honest, in these areas, I kind of feel like a fraud. I've read several books, and I still plan to compile what awesome insights I've learned, hopefully soon, but at this point, I honestly don't know when that's going to be. But I'm learning that I need to follow God's path on this, not my own, because His plan is way better and more exciting. And that brings us here to this episode on God sightings. How does that fit in here? First and foremost, I think it gives knowing that our identity is in God's hands some firsthand relevance. I can read books and give a pretty decent book report on all that I found, but without this part of the internal story, that's all it would be to you, a stale, boring, irrelevant book report. This episode is going to be a story about my own personal experiences with God sightings. This is what gives my musings on being in His image and our security in God any credibility, because it's been real and proven in my life. I have seen God working firsthand through countless stories and sagas. I've seen Him answer prayers in gloriously topsy-turvy ways. I've also seen His fingerprints in situations where we didn't even know we needed to pray. So before I give you my thoughts on what it means to be in God's image, or the more enigmatic idea of understanding God's unique character traits, or whatever it is that God wants me to talk to you about next, I need to show you that it's real, and it has been so tangible in my life. This is the next step that God has established for me. Psalm 77:14-20. "You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you. They were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty water, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Remembrance has always been important in the Jewish culture. Not only remembrance, but celebration of what God has done and how powerful He is. Leviticus 23 talks about seven feasts of remembrance that God wanted to be celebrated annually. Each feast represents something specific that God has provided for His people. The Passover of the 10th plague in Egypt, His rescue of them from slavery in Egypt, harvest celebrations focusing on how much God has provided, the Feast of Trumpets celebrating God's victories, mournings, and guidance, feasts celebrating God's protection, and a feast celebrating God's atonement of our sins. We need reminders. God knows this and wants us to make it a habit to sit and remember and celebrate what He has gotten us through, so we can fully trust His faithfulness and guidance on what He wants us to go and who He wants us to be. See how that identity thing fits in here again? Do you know what happened when people made a point to do these remembrance feasts in the Old Testament? They got excited. They got empowered. They made amazing changes, and God blessed them. 2 Chronicles 30 through 31 describes how King Hezekiah had the people celebrate Passover for the first time in a long time. Right after, idols were torn down, they joyfully gave their first fruits, and God abundantly blessed the rest of their crops. Because they were willing and joyfully remembered and celebrated God's glory, then soon after, God protected them and equipped them to resist taunts and attacks from the king of Assyria. Remembering God's faithfulness gives glory to God and in return brings us joy, blessings, strengthens and fuels us when we are afflicted or opposed from Satan's attacks. It makes us brave. 2 Chronicles 32, 7-8, Hezekiah declared, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria or his mighty army, for there is a power far greater on our side. He may have a great army, but they are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles for us." Hezekiah's words greatly encouraged the people. Had they not taken the time to remember God's faithfulness in the past, they would not have been ready to trust God for the future, especially when it looked as scary as it did right then. When we look back at the past victories of God, we are given hope and courage to know He has the victories of the future as well. So what does that have to do with me? With you? If you're not Jewish and these are not a part of your yearly celebrations, then why are these ancient traditions relevant to a modern time and a modern non-Jewish people? One, because if you're a Christian, you are adopted into the family of God and the promises He has given apply to you as well. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for His glory." And two, I've seen it firsthand. God has taken painful and scary situations in my life, and He's led me through an adventure that I'm pretty sure is not over yet. 1 Samuel 7:12 describes a scene where God made His presence known to the Israelites. They were terrified of the Philistines who were on their way to attack them. They knew who to call for help, and God mightily made His presence and power known by rescuing them. As soon as this happened, Samuel knew he needed to mark the place, so whenever the Israelites came here, they would have a visual reminder that God was with them and mighty. The verse says, "Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshana. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help, for he said, 'Up to this point, the Lord has helped us.'" So this episode is my Ebenezer, a story where I can document how God took me from painful despair in my situation to a journey more exciting and so different than I ever imagined. January of 2013 was my pivotal moment. I recently found my journals from that time. I only journal when I'm having trouble dealing with my emotions, so most of them are pretty depressing. And I realized at the time I was almost drowning in my frustration and desperation. We had known that having a baby would be difficult, but I hadn't realized the attack it would have on my identity. It made me feel like a failure, like less of a woman, unable to do what I literally had been created to be able to do. And then there was the pride and jealousy in the ugliest form possible, where I remember thinking, why can't I, a married, financially stable person, not be gifted children, when all those people out there in so much less stable of a condition able to do it without a second thought? I remember the pain of each birth announcement and super cute pregnancy announcement. In January of 2013 was when I had to make a choice. Was I going to be bitter at God and take things into my own hands? Or was I going to trust His guidance and His timing and patiently follow His lit path, usually only one step at a time? After an embarrassingly long and ugly struggle, I finally gave in and gave it to God. On January 2nd, 2013, I wrote, "I can't wait until I can come back to these entries and feel what I will on the other side. I know it will all be worth it." May 2013 was another huge catalyst in our lives. Josh had just graduated from Full Sail University to get his degree in computer animation after getting a degree previously in youth ministry. At the time, he was working as a video producer at Cedarvale University, but we knew it was time for a change. The unfortunate thing about having a computer animation degree is that there aren't many opportunities to use it in Ohio, so we needed to figure out what God wanted us to do next: stay here or go somewhere else. One of the best places to live with a computer animation degree is obviously LA, and my brother just happens to live there. So we decided to make a trip to go see him and check out the area to decide if we could handle living there, because it's pretty different than the rural Ohio that we've gotten used to. We knew this trip was big. I remember sitting with Josh at the airport with him praying, "God, please make it very clear of the direction that you want us to go, if leaving this job is what you want me to do." When I look back, I often wonder if God was using a sense of humor with his answer, or if we legit required this extreme of a response to get us on the right path. But boy, did he answer. Soon after Josh's prayer, we got on the plane, landed safely. We drove to my brother's house after making a pit stop for me to see the Pacific Ocean for the first time. We got to his house, gave hugs, put our luggage down, and Josh got a phone call from his boss. So he left to have a private conversation. When he came back into the room we were in, the look on his face made me literally think someone had died. We knew Cedarville was about to do a big set of layoffs, but we were pretty confident that Josh's job was secure. We were quite wrong. Josh had 2 days left of his job, all happening while we were on vacation. God had answered our prayer within hours, quite bluntly, and we never had to make the actual decision. So it was in May 2013, I was reeling in my perceived lost identity as a woman, and my husband now was reeling in his lost perceived identity as a man, the role of provider. God was obviously doing something big. So I was pretty relieved to find out that nobody had died, but then a new anxiety rose up. What are we going to do now? From the beginning, we had always relied on Josh's income in the hopes that someday I could stay home with our theoretical children without a huge adjustment financially. In turn, the money that I made as a nurse went straight to paying off loans. This gave me the freedom to work PRN, where I choose my own schedule, get paid a little bit more, but I'm not eligible for benefits, which was fine because Josh's were available. I was new to the area of the hospital I was working at, oncology. Oncology had always been a passion of mine, but it's one of those areas that they prefer experience before hiring. I was splitting my hours between here and my original unit at the hospital, so I called my new boss in a little bit of a panic to see if there was any way I could go full-time so I could qualify for insurance. Ironically, just that morning, she had been told that one of her nurses was wanting to go PRN in her path toward retiring. Therefore, there was a very smooth transition with very little wait. So I didn't have to try to find a brand new job in a place I might not have loved as much. And I don't think it's a coincidence that our brand new insurance cards were in our mailbox on the exact day that Josh's insurance stopped. So back in LA, we were kind of staggering in the unknown and possibilities. Okay, it was obviously time for Josh to leave that job. There was no choice. But did that mean that LA was the way to go? It certainly felt that way. We had family here, my brother, my cousin, Josh's great uncle. As a nurse, good jobs are not too difficult for me to find. We were in a good spot to sell our house to put towards something in LA, though houses in Ohio are way cheaper than California. Yes, this definitely seemed to be where God was leading us, in answer to our prayers, and Josh's dream to work as a compositor for movies. But it couldn't be that easy. God still had some surprises in store for us. When we got back from our vacation, I started to try to get as much in order as I could in terms of insurance, medicine, doctors, all that stuff. At this time, I didn't know when my full time would start, so I wasn't sure if it would affect which doctors we could go to, which it did, and how well it would cover medications. Due to the health issues I had causing my infertility, I'd recently needed to take a pregnancy test every 3 months to prove that I wasn't pregnant, to take some medication to prevent future cancer risk. It was getting close to that 3 month mark, so I decided to do it early while we still had insurance. Now, the week after the trip, I didn't feel very good, but I assumed it was due to jet lag and recovery from vacation food because taquitos in LA are amazing. Once again, I was wrong, and those two pink lines were not what I was expecting to see. This was one of those memorable moments where God was making a huge point in my life. Yes, I had desperately been wanting a baby, but I was relying on my own steps, the security I built for myself, and the pride I had in my own achievements to be the platform on why I felt it was the right time for us to have a baby. So God picked this specific time to give us a baby. He wanted it to be very clear to me that my children are a gift to me, not something that I earned or deserve, that my power is not what will take care of them. but that in any and all situations, He is the one who will take care of all of us. He was the source of our stability, not our planning or our jobs, though He gave us the ability and wisdom for those. I'm not saying we don't need to do our part, but that He would be in charge of providing what we needed. It was a crash course of learning to trust, something I'm still working on to this day. A couple of months went by where we just didn't know what was next. A new baby made it pretty clear that this was not the time to pack up on a new adventure in a very unknown new place across the country. Thankfully, Josh's connections and professional integrity made it possible for him to have a couple of freelance video gigs in the interim. Eventually, in September of that year, only a little over 3 months, but it felt like so much longer at the time, Josh started a new job as the tech director at a church. This meant that we had to leave the church we had been attending and serving in for 8 years, the church we were married in, but we felt a peace knowing that obviously this was God's plan for us, moving us one step at a time. Our new adventure was moving pretty quickly at this point. Job loss, new baby, leaving our church, and now a new job in a very new place, all within a 4-month period. We liked this new church. They really cared about community and community outreach, things that we're really passionate about. But as time went on, we realized that long term, this would not be the best solution for Josh. While he loved the challenge and creativity, he mostly worked alone and long late hours. He was unable to be in other ministries that were important to him, and this was likely not going to be a good place for him to stay. God was moving again. While the Cedarville layoff obviously left wounds and a bitter taste in our mouths, the relationships were still present. Josh's Cedarville production team had recently moved to be under IT right before he left, giving him a new main boss who noticed Josh's affinity for all things computer and coding. He had previously joked about trying to get Josh to come to the computer side of things prior to the layoffs. I don't remember where, but Josh ran into him as we were wrestling with figuring out what to do next, and Dave reminded Josh of an opening in the web development department that had been vacant for a year. They were starting to get desperate to get it filled. Josh honestly wasn't sure what to do. He didn't like the idea of leaving this new job so early, and he felt inadequate for the job of being a web developer, and he wasn't sure he was ready to head back to Cedarville with all the unhealed wounds. But sometimes you just have to follow the nudge of the Holy Spirit, even when it doesn't always make sense at the time. So Josh applied and interviewed, and we waited. This was January of 2014, 1 year after my pivotal moment, and also the month I was due to have our first child. One day after work, I came home and had dinner with Josh. I stood up to take my plate to the table and suddenly felt a pop and gush. My water had broken. 12 hours later, we heard the glorious cries of what we had waited so long for. The answer to our prayers was here in my arms. 5 minutes after Eli was born, Josh got a call from an unknown number. Assuming it was a family member calling back about the baby, he answered. And so in a 5-minute window, God answered my desperate pleading for a baby and fulfilled Josh's desire to best provide for his family through another job at Cedarville. The next few months were pretty difficult. I had a battle with postpartum anxiety, though we didn't realize what it was until later. And while most babies cause sleep deprivation, Eli was an exceptionally difficult sleeper. We stayed at the church Josh had worked at, continuing to do ministry through tech and worship. However, after a little bit, we learned that we would need to find a new church in a denomination approved by Cedarville. They have a pretty strict agreement that must be signed to be able to work there. Unfortunately, this new church we were at did not fit that, so we had to start this new church shopping, which came at the exact time that Eli's separation anxiety kicked in. We tried out several churches, but none could handle how sad Eli got at drop-off. We ended up having to leave during sermons, never getting to actually enjoy and experience church, and not getting to talk to anyone because we had to leave. It started to get pretty lonely and frustrating. And then we met the children's director at Far Hills Church in Dayton, Ohio, which is now called Fearless Church. She probably saw the desperation in our eyes as we started to hand him off to her, and she made it her goal to let us experience a full church service. She learned the magic trick of making sure a guy was in the room. Seriously, that's all it took. And every Sunday, she made sure to move him to a place that had a man, and we barely had any issues since. Being at Far Hills changed our lives. When we got there, they had begun the process of searching for a new full-time lead pastor. At this time, we also found out that we were pregnant with surprise baby number 2. When Chris came along, the new pastor at Far Hills, Josh felt an instant draw to his honesty and drive. Josh started going to a men's Bible study and came to know Jesus in a new way, which led him to getting baptized. With Chris as a mentor, Josh started to feel the call again for full-time ministry. His original degree, as I said, was in youth ministry. We also started realizing that our oldest son was not developing at the typical schedule. This sent us to a lot of doctors to try to figure out what was going on. He also battled croup a lot, which sent us to even more doctors and tests. And at one point, we received a bill for a test that we expected to be much, much lower. I remember being angry at the lack of communication for how much this blood work typically costs. It was a ridiculous amount of money to find out that my son is allergic to dust. And then these bills just kept coming. So that year, Josh's boss surprised him with a bonus, not knowing what was going on at our house. And the day after we received this ridiculous dust allergy bill, Josh came home with a check for almost the exact amount. Josh continued to grow in his faith and drive, leadership, and wisdom under his mentorship with Chris. He began to help again in youth group, obviously a passion of his with his youth ministry degree. And this is where we felt God was calling him for eventual full-time ministry. Around this time, baby man number two came along, and there was a quick bond between the boys. And ever since, they've helped each other so much. Isaiah has pushed and cheered Eli to continue to develop and grow. Eli has cheered and pushed Isaiah to learn compassion and to reach his potential. I was honestly pretty nervous about how close they were together, but it was obviously perfect timing, as God has proven time and time again. This time became what I call the shepherd's field. We knew God had called us to full-time ministry, but we had no idea where or when. It did not come fast. No matter how passionate we were, there were many applications sent out, most of which were rejections based on experience. Often Josh would be considered in the top 10 or so, but not number one. There was one church that was seriously interested in Josh, and it fit a lot of what we were really value in a church, but we did not feel at peace about it, and we passed it over. Looking back, we realized why it just was not the right church for us, and we're certain that we made the right choice. This was frustrating and disheartening for Josh, who was exasperated at the catch-22 of wanting to do full-time ministry but could not get an in without experience. How can you get experience if nobody will hire you? So we asked God for experience, and thus the 3 years became our shepherd field training ground. You can go into the show notes and click on the episode that I'll give you the link for to see why I call it the shepherd's field. Josh was growing in his youth ministry and leadership and development and some great relationships. He had also healed enough from the original trauma of the layoffs that he even began helping with some tech things again. He got to practice preaching to the teens every month or so and even began an unofficial internship to help develop the year's curriculum with the youth pastor. God even provided an amazing grandma-esque babysitter so that I could start joining and working with the teens as well. And later she told us that we were just as much of an answer to her prayers for more babysitting time. It became clear that God wasn't just training Josh for full-time ministry, but that I needed to become trained and prepared as well. One day we received an unexpected email inviting us to join a pilot of a new marriage ministry they wanted to bring in. They even would provide the childcare, which was amazing. The timing was so perfect. Going through the curriculum, Josh and I learned so much about rekindling and building our relationship, especially to prepare for the attacks on our relationships that would come when we finally would find our ministry. We became so passionate about it that we trained and became leaders in it ourselves, bringing us closer together as a team and building new skills for the future. Actually, at this time, Josh realized that a lot of his passion and talents were focused on small groups of all ages, not just teenagers. It made him stop and wonder if this was possibly why there were no good leads in youth ministry area at this time. God was working so much in me at this time as well. I was getting mentored, encouraged, and getting more involved in an awesome ministry for moms. When my boys finally started sleeping through the night, I decided to try to go to the 5 a.m. workout classes at our local YMCA because that was about the same amount of sleep I was getting anyway, so why not do something with that? So both of these things stirred up and grew passions and gifts that I didn't even know I had, to grow in deeper understanding of God and to learn more about health and exercise, not just in my nursing medical background. And then how to put all of these together and teach. In the exercise world, God took my background of nursing, 16 years of performing in dance lessons and musicals, and love for exercise, and somehow miraculously married them all seamlessly together, giving me the opportunity to teach group exercise classes and also to develop a program for people who have survived cancer and want to get back into physical fitness. This became another small group training for me. The mom's group is probably where this podcast came from. You can see the show notes again if you want further details on the origin of this podcast. Short summary, God once again married past talents and trainings. Josh's talents in production met with my theater and voice training to make an at least mildly pleasant listening experience. This podcast, however, has been more of a training ground for me as I've begun learning to listen for what God is trying to say to me and to learn to trust Him more instead of trying to figure everything out for myself. God continued to give us different ministry opportunities and began growing Josh's heart in a different direction. As God cultivated Josh's leadership talents in small groups and discipleship opportunities, he ignited a new passion for it. Finally, we decided to stop looking for youth pastor jobs and just look at discipleship pastor jobs. And that's when things started moving again. After two major churching shifts around each pregnancy, we jokingly told each other that this surprise third baby was a sign that we would find the church soon. However, in typical fashion, things got a little complicated. Josh had begun doing adjunct classes at Cedarville University, teaching from his experience from video, web development, and the computer animation. He was encouraged by coworkers to apply for an open full-time position, which appealed to Josh's love to teach. Around the same time, he received a call from a youth pastor at a church about an hour away who had seen Josh's resume. Josh had been trying to decide if he was going to take a break from applying for a little bit, but God proved again that he was the one driving the boat, that he was the one to provide for us, not through our own talents or diligence, but through his doors that he alone will open. At the time, though, we just weren't sure which way was God's way. We decided to ride through the process of both opportunities to see where God led us. In the meantime, Josh was getting great experience in teaching and in patience. Once again, January became a big month for us. There were three big interviews scheduled between each place, as well as a baby due right in the middle. Apparently, when God moves our families in directions, he makes it big. We were pretty sure which of the two was where God wanted us, but we really wanted to be abundantly clear, which he'd done in the past, so we knew he could do it now. Not that I think he will always do it that way, but when he moves us, he makes it clear which way he wants us to go, because we apparently need that. However, God was gracious with our request. And the day that Josh was supposed to interview for the professor job at Cedarville, which happened to be the only day for over a month that everybody could get together, was when my water just happened to break in the middle of the night, almost 2 weeks early. Once again, with a baby fresh in our arms, God made it clear which path to pursue. Josh accepted the job of pastor of discipleship, and our last day at Far Hills happened to be the day of baby dedication. We said see you later to a church who had grown, mentored, challenged, and encouraged us by making a visible promise to continue their work to our children and also to our new church family. In the meantime, normal new job move stress happened. An amazing friend and realtor helped us get our house ready and ended up selling it in 24 hours for more than asking. A church member at the new church offered their basement for us to stay in until we could move into the new house. Buying a house was also eventful. We put in two offers on different houses and they both fell through. We actually started to get a little nervous because none of the houses available in our price range felt like the house. Then one day we realized that we had done the budget math wrong and could afford a little bit more. So we looked in the new price range and felt like we found the one. But when we put in our offer, we found out that we were third in line. However, it just happened to be the day that the first contingency was going to expire and the second had to sell their house by the weekend. So the timing was once again perfect for us to slip in and get the house that we knew was great for us. So if we had done the math right in the first place, we probably wouldn't have gotten this house. So it's just crazy how all of that worked out, even those little minute details to end up in these big answers to prayer. This move also answered a huge prayer for our family, an amazing Montessori school for my now kindergartner with learning delays who would likely not do well in a typical classroom, and God even provided a full scholarship to cover the costs. I also got to keep my job at the cancer center, it only added about 10 minutes to the drive, and I got to go back to PRN where I can choose my own schedule. So I only go in once a week, and I get to stay at a place that I love and the people I work with that I love and in the passion that God has given me. So he answered that prayer as well. Through every step of this journey, God has been there and answered so many prayers, big and small. It wasn't always easy, but as he promised, he worked every situation and timing for our good. He cared about our whole family. He brought in people to grow, challenge, and encourage us. And because I remember all of these details and more, I know I can trust his faithfulness in the future. This is just a short summary of the past 7 years of our family. Reading it, this makes it seem like it was really fast and with little tension, but there were so many times where we just didn't know what was going to happen next. And I know there are some of you out there that are still in your waiting period, or you're in your training before sending period, or you may have big choices in front of you that you don't know what to do with, or you may be in this great spot to look back and see what God has done in your life. No matter which of these places you're in, remember. Remember where you are and where you've been. God is, was, and always will be faithful. Our journey seems to be far from over, but we get to move forward from this Ebenezer spot with the confidence that God will direct us in our future because we've seen how abundantly he has provided answers in our past. Isaiah 30, 18 through 21. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord has given you bread of deprivation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it."
This has been episode 21 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled Ebenezer, Marking God's Victories in My Story. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/21. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/botfpodcast.